Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request today, well, we want to pray for you. So let us know what that need is. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893, the number to call to make your prayer request known. You can also email or text us at prayer@yeshome.com. That's prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what's on your heart today, and we'll lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy, for your many blessings that you pour out on us each day. And Lord, we pray you'll bless our listeners, strengthen and encourage them this day, that they would walk in your power and in your might. Lord, that they would walk in your grace and mercy, that they would be moved and strengthened and encouraged by you. And Lord, that they would experience the fullness of all your grace this day. And Lord, we pray for each listener that they would, who calls in and shares this need, this request, this praise, whatever it may be, Lord, that as they do so and exercise their faith in you, that they will find your faithfulness, that they would be built and strengthened in faith. And Lord, that as you move in their lives, they would give glory to you, and that their lives would become a testimony to your truth, to your power, to your love. We thank you, Lord, because you are so good to us. We thank you that you are so great and awesome. We give you all glory this day because you are indeed deserving. We pray it in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. Never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that. Just let us know what is on your heart today, and we'll pray for you on the Prayer Closet. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God to kind of get our hearts and minds settled and focused on the Lord. And we've been looking through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 4 of Thessalonians, and Paul has written to this church, just to give you the context. The Thessalonican church was a church that Paul started, but he really didn't get a chance to establish it. After only about a month in the city, he was chased out due to persecution. Normally, Paul would spend maybe a year or even longer in a place to really get a church established and off the ground. He did not have that kind of time. And so he spends much of the beginning of the letter talking about how he longs to see them and encouraging them with the good report that he's heard. And you can hear and sense his joy that even though he was only with them a short time, that the church is flourishing, it's doing well, they're following the Lord. And he's so encouraged by that. And so he writes to them to encourage them and to encourage them to continue on in that path that they're on. And also then to give them some teachings, because obviously there are some questions that they had that he had not had a chance to deal with. And one of those main questions is about the end times, about what happens after we die and what happens to those believers. Remember, the early church thought that Jesus was coming back like yesterday, right? They're proclaiming the word of God. They're coming back and they're believing Jesus is coming back yesterday. And so they believe that, you know, we're going to preach the gospel and then Jesus is going to come back and boom, we're out of here. And what happens is it, you know, takes a little longer for Jesus to come back than what they were expecting. And so people begin to die, and then they begin to have questions like, wait a minute, you know, if we're Jesus coming back and we're going to go to be with him when he returns, what happens to those who die? They've died before Jesus came back. Will they go with him? How's this going to work? So obviously some questions about that. And Paul's going to begin to address that question here in chapter 4, verse 13. And he does a lot of teaching about the second coming. So let's pick it up in chapter 4, verse 13. It says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So he writes this to, first of all, comfort them about those who have passed on. And his first words are, you know, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. And notice that he doesn't say die, because in truth, we don't die if we're in Christ. You know, that might be the single most important and difficult reality for us to comprehend as Christians, is that we don't die. Now you may say, well, wait a minute. I mean, I know what you're saying, but we die, right? I mean, everybody dies. I mean, unless Christ returns, we're going to die. People die. I know people, family have died and friends have died. I mean, people die. Oh, yeah. This physical body dies. But we don't die. This is the reality that Paul wants them to understand. We do not die. If your life belongs to Jesus Christ, if you have given your life to Christ, if you are following him as your Lord and Savior, you've confessed your sins, you've sought his forgiveness and are following him in faithfulness and in obedience. If you've truly given your life to Christ, the life you are living right now is an eternal life. It will never end. You literally do not die. Now, the life you're leading is at one point going to undergo a dramatic change. Right? At some point, it is going to undergo a rather dramatic change. But you don't die. The life you're living right now, you're living into eternity. We're not raised up some kind of new person. It's like we die and then God calls up some kind of weird spirit that, you know, used to be us and he kind of recreates us. No. Jesus tells us in John that those who believe in him have already passed over from death to life. We have already passed over from death to life. We have already passed over death. That happened when we came to faith in Christ. And so right now, the lives we're living, we live into eternity. They never end. They literally never end. And we literally never die. This material worldly body dies. We slough that off. But that's no different than like a snake shedding its skin. At some point, we have to shed off these bodies so we can inherit the permanent bodies, the imperfect bodies, the imperishable bodies that we are destined to have, that we can take into heaven. But even that body will be the same as this. I mean, we're going to look the same. It'll be us. We'll be recognizable. We'll be who we are. It'll be perfected. You know, it won't be subject to ailment or disease or deformity or anything like that. Everything will work properly, which would be nice. You know, maybe you got a knee that doesn't quite work or dealing with some physical ailment, got a bad shoulder, suffering from diabetes. I mean, whatever it may be. All that's gone, right? They work perfectly. No more disease, no more decay. That will all be gone because we won't be subject to decay as our bodies break down as we get older. Maybe they never quite worked right. All that will be changed. But it's just a perfection of who we are. We're just changing or inheriting our eternal body that we will carry on with us into heaven. And so Paul says, look, I don't want you to grieve like men who have no hope. Now, notice he doesn't say that we're not to grieve. Some people read this and say, yeah, we shouldn't be grieving as Christians. Well, he never says that. As though somehow it's wrong for us to grieve as Christians. There's still grief. There's still sorrow when someone falls asleep, when someone passes away, passes into eternity. But it's not the sorrow without hope. You know, we grieve because there's a separation that has occurred. If someone dies who's a believer, we know we're going to see them again. We have that confidence. I've had many friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who have passed on. One of the joys that we'll have in heaven is seeing those folks again, being reunited with them in heaven. And I look forward to that. There's many people that have gone ahead of me that I really am longing to see in heaven. Family and friends that I'll be rejoicing to see in heaven. And it's going to be wonderful. It's part of the joy of heaven. You know, after the joy of seeing Christ, our Savior, and the joy of being with God, we'll also have the joy of being reunited with each other. But we also know there's a period of separation between when that happens. Between now, when they pass, and when that happens, when that occurs. We haven't lost these people forever. We will see them again, but it might be 20 years. It might be 30 years. It might be 40 years. It could be a long time before we see these people again. If you had a loved one who was going away on a trip, let's say they were going to do some work in the, you know, deepest, darkest part of the Amazon, completely remote and cut off. There's no way to contact them. You know, there's no cell phone signal. You can't get letters in. You will literally be out of communication with them for the next 30 years. They can spend the next 30 years working, doing whatever in the deepest part of the Amazon, totally cut off from all civilization. And there's no way to contact, no way to get letters from them, nothing. And you're at the airport saying goodbye. Do you think there's going to be tears? Absolutely. Will there be sorrow? Absolutely. Not because they're dead to us, gone forever. We'll see them again. But it's going to be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Of course we're going to be grieving and sorrowful and sad. And that's kind of what happens when we mourn one who has passed on in Christ. There's a sorrow at the separation that we're going to suffer, that we're not going to be able to talk with them and see them for a time. You know, I even thought this morning, I packed up two of my boys, sent them off to camp today, loaded them up on the bus. They're going to be back next Monday. But while they're gone, I don't have a way to contact them by cell phone. They don't want you calling them a cell phone or anything like that. So, you know, I can always contact the camp, I guess. But we can send them an email through the camp, but that's it. I'm not really going to be able to talk with them for the next few days. And that's just a week. I mean, it's less than a week. They'll be back Monday. And already, and you know, you're missing them a little bit. I mean, they've been on the bus 2 hours. And it's like, oh, well, they're not going to be home tonight, man. That's, you know, a little sad. So it's normal that we would grieve that separation. It's normal that we would feel sorrow for that. God created these emotions in us. They're normal and they're proper. So Paul does not tell us that we should not grieve, but he does say we do not grieve like those who have no hope. What makes our grief different is there's the hope of reunion. I will not see them for a time, but I will see them again. And that hope is a sure knowledge. Right? When the Bible talks about hope, it's not like, boy, I hope I get to see him again. I hope everything works out. I hope it'll happen. Like, maybe it won't. That's not how the Bible uses hope. When the Bible talks about hope in the Lord, it's talking about the hope for something that has been promised to happen, is sure to happen, but has not happened yet. So it's not a hope like maybe it won't happen. We know that it's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. So when the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about looking forward to something that is sure, that is absolutely going to occur, but has not happened yet. We have hope in the return of Christ. Not that he might not come back, that he might change his mind. He might be like, you know what? I'm not going back. I'm negative and I really don't feel like leaving. I'm trying to catch up on some shows here. No, I'm not coming back. As though he's not going to do it. No, he's going to come back. We know he's going to come back. And we have that hope in that sure thing, but it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been realized yet. And so we hope for it. We await it. And that's the biblical use of hope. And Paul says, we do not grieve like those who have no hope, who don't know if they're ever going to see their loved one again. Maybe there's an afterlife. Maybe there's not. Maybe there's heaven. Maybe there's not. Maybe they'll make it. Maybe they won't. Maybe their brother will be there. Maybe they won't. We don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see them again. And they grieve because they just don't know. They might never see that person again. We have the hope of Jesus Christ to know that we will see them again. So we don't grieve like no hope. We grieve with the hope that we will see them again. It is a sure thing. It just hasn't happened yet, and we have to await it. And so we grieve that distance, that separation that occurs while we wait, but we have hope that encourages us in that. You know, as a pastor, I've done lots of funerals. I've done funerals for believers, and I've done funerals for non-believers. And I always tell people, if you want to know if Christianity is real, just go to the funeral of a Christian and go to the funeral of a non-Christian. Because I'm telling you, they are so different. They are so different. And I've done funerals for, you know, even in similar situations, you know, somebody young who dies unexpectedly, who's a believer versus someone who's not. Well, even under similar circumstances of their death and things like that. And the funeral of a Christian, there's sorrow, there's tears, people are sad, but there's also a joy. And it's hard to explain to people. You say, well, how can anybody be joyful? But even in the midst of that sorrow, though, there's a joy. There's a hope. There's people talk about, you know, we know they're in heaven. We know that we're going to see them again. They find hope in that. There's a joy in that. And so even at the funeral of a Christian, even when that death is unexpected, even when people are really wrestling with it and struggling with it, there's nonetheless this underlying joy that this hope brings. But at the funeral of a non-Christian, it's just, let me tell you, hopeless grief is a terrible thing to witness. Let me just put it that way. Because there's not that joy. There's not that hope. It's just grieving and sorrow, and it's hopeless, and it's sad. It's a terrible thing to see. It's the saddest thing to see is hopeless grief. It's a terrible thing. You know, when I do those, I try to, you know, speak hope into that situation through the gospel for those who are left. But it's terrible, and it's different, and it is different. It's so different. The gospel gives us hope. And so Paul says, you know, if you're grieving, don't grieve without hope. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. We have something different. We have a promise from the Lord. So if you're dealing with a loss, maybe you've recently lost someone, struggling with that in your own family, in your own life. It's okay if there's sorrow. It's okay to have tears. That's fine. You know, we need to do that. God has created us that way. We're made to grieve. Grief comes from the Lord. It's okay. It's not a sin. It's not wrong. But remember the hope. Because the hope will give you joy even in the midst of the grief and the sorrow and the tears. And that joy will sustain you. And that hope will sustain you. Because we know we'll see them again. We know they're with the Lord. That he holds them in his hand. They're perfectly fine. They're better than they have ever been. And even as we are eagerly waiting to see them, they are eagerly awaiting us to join them. If you have a prayer request that you would like to get to us, you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. You can also email or text us at prayer@yeshome.com. Get your prayer request to us at any time there. And you can also get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session. A live online chat session with a real person. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Go to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. Have a great day.